Matthew chapter 13, page 1017 in your Schofield Reference Bible. We'll be reading just three verses. We'll read the verses in unison, verses 44 through 46. The text verses are the 45th and 46th verses. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46, page 1017. May we stand, as is our custom to do, for the reading of God's Word. And let's read the three verses together. Ready? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And let's pray. And Father, thank you for this day. Our hearts have been blessed. We have found strength in that which we find in each other, because in each other we see something of thee. But now we, of course, focus on that which is most important of all, the declaration of thy word through the man of God. Father, bless, we pray, and help us as we listen, and help our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
You, Mrs. Boardway, that was very, very nice. I like that. I didn't know you could do that. That's great. I appreciate it. I love that song. That's beautiful. Thank you. I want to speak this morning on how to find the pearl of great price. Some of you tightwads are going to really take notes this morning in your mind. But, of course, I want to ask you not to take notes while I'm preaching. I want you just to look this way, and you can do your writing when you get home. And so I just put your pens up now. Everybody put your pen up, your pencil, and it's time to preach and it's time to hear. And I want to speak this morning on the subject, how to find the pearl of great price. The text verse I'll read. You need not turn to it, but again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Those three words are the words I called your attention this morning. Seeking goodly pearls. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Father, bless the message now to our hearts. In Jesus' name, help us, please. Amen. Right this way, please. How to find the pearl of great price. I want to say, by way of introduction, that this man was seeking goodly pearls. The Bible says in his venture of seeking goodly pearls, he found one pearl of great price. But I want you to notice it does not say he was seeking the pearl of great price. The Bible does not say that there was a man who was seeking the pearl of great price and he found the pearl of great price and went and sold all that he had and bought it. It doesn't say that. It says he was seeking goodly pearls. It didn't say he had any idea of the pearl of great price. He was seeking goodly pearls. Now the truth is, if he had found or if he had sought just the pearl of great price, he probably wouldn't have found it. But in the seeking of goodly pearls, he found the pearl of great price. I've preached on this scripture, and I've taught this scripture, and I've heard sermons on this passage many, many times. But I've never heard this thought. As I was reading this passage just the other day, it came across my mind. The fellow didn't find the pearl of great price because he was seeking the pearl of great price. He found the pearl of great price while seeking goodly pearls. Every once in a while somebody will say to me, "Brother Hiles, that truth that you preached last Sunday, my soul, what a great truth. How did you find it?" I was in the Bible looking for all truth and found a pearl of great price. You don't get the Bible and look in the Bible and say, "I'm looking for some spectacular truth. No, you just read the Bible verse by verse. And while you're looking for the goodly pearls, you find the pearl of great price. Bible's a wonderful book. There are many hidden truths that God wants to reveal to us by His Holy Spirit. But you'll not find those truths by looking for the truths. You'll find those truths by looking for the truth. This man found the pearl of great price, but he wasn't seeking the pearl of great price. He was seeking goodly pearls. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, how do you get all those answers, those big answers to prayer? And I was thinking a while ago, I couldn't help but think, we were talking about the school a while ago. There's nobody here that knows this, and there's no way I could ever tell it to you. But every time this man has been reading something lately, I think of a prayer meeting I've had somewhere alone. I remember this morning how I begged God to give us that little building out there in the early days of Ross Township. I remembered how I went out and begged God for it. We didn't have any money. We wanted to start a school. I made a promise to our people we'd not use the buildings here for a school. We've never done that. Not against it, but we've never done that. I made you two promises back yonder when we started schools. I've kept those promises. I said, number one, you'll keep your buildings here downtown, First Baptist. I said, number two, you'll keep your preacher. I'll not get in the school business myself. I'll find good men to operate the schools, and I'll oversee it. But I won't spend a lot of time at the schools. And I made you those promises. But I thought he was just talking this morning about that building out there in the Ross Township. I remembered the night when I walked around it and begged God for it. I remember the night I went out to the Calumet School Board by myself for taking sealed bids for the building. I walked out and took a sealed bid for $35,000 and met with the school board in the Calumet Township and the Calumet High School out here on Ridge Road. And walked in, and I gave them a sealed bid. And mine was the only bid there, $35,000. Why, I thought it'd take $150,000 to get it. We got that school and all the property there for $35,000. Sold it for $144,000 a little bit later. But I remember how I prayed. And I got thinking a while ago. Went out there to the wilderness, and in a wilderness out in Sherrville where our schools are now. You couldn't see as far as from me to Mrs. Williams out there because of the brush and the trees and the woods out there. And that 28 acres of property and how we prayed. I prayed God for it. And then somebody told me to drive out to Burr Street, 8400 Burr. They said there's a Catholic seminary out there. We had our college started. It was meeting at out where the grade school is now. I drove out by the place. I'd never seen a campus that pretty in my life. I still haven't seen a campus as pretty as that campus out there. And I decided to beg God for it. And so once a month, I'd go out to that campus and walk all night long and pray all night long for 12 months. I prayed one night a month, all night, out there for God to give us that campus. You know, I sometimes wonder. The other day I was out there and I was across the street and looked across. I saw the football team practicing. And I wanted to go over and I wanted to holler and say, "Fellas, don't you shout!" He just knew the miracles. I remember how I used to walk around that campus and pray. I'd take my shoes off and walk around the campus and pray. I walked up those hills and barefooted and said, "Oh God, give me these hills. I claim the promise where the sole of thy foot touches, it'll be yours. I'll give it to you for possession." And I walked down in the valley and under those big old trees and put my hands on the trees and claimed it for God. And then I walked across the lake and claimed the lake for God. I mean, I wish I could tell you all about prayer. I wish I could tell you how good God is. You say, "Preacher, how do you get those big answers to prayer?" I tell you how. You just pray about everything. Just pray about everything. You don't look for the pearl of great price. You look for a goodly pearl. You pray about every little thing. You're going to go buy a suit. You pray for God to lead you the right suit. You're going to go buy a pair of shoes. You pray for God to lead you for the right pair of shoes. You're going to take a trip. You pray for God to lead you on the trip. You pray about everything. How do you find the great truths of the Bible? You look for goodly pearls, and you find the pearl of great price. How do you find the great answers to prayer? You pray about everything. You look for goodly pearls, and you find the pearl of great price. Somebody said, Brother Hines, you've given your life through these years, much of it, to trying to stir preachers and fire preachers. And Dr. Heidel's, some of the great preachers in America have gotten on fire for God in some of your meetings. Brother Heidel said, how do you find these great preachers and these, how do you choose a guy to try to fire him up? I was preaching this week with Dr. Curtis Hudson. And as I was sitting over on the right over here, listening to him preach a great sermon on prayer, my mind wandered back to a meeting in 1961 in Atlanta, Georgia, when I preached to 80 people. I didn't know who was there, but sitting out in that audience that night, the sailors, are you listening to me? Sitting out in the audience that night was a young preacher who had never won a soul to Christ. Had a little church with 20 members and about 10 of them showing up every Sunday. I did not know he was there and didn't know it for 9 years. But that meeting that night in Atlanta, Georgia, I wasn't looking for a pearl of great price. I was just looking for some goodly pearls, that's all. I wasn't trying to find a great preacher. I wasn't trying to find some young man who would someday be editor of the Sword of the Lord. I was just trying to be faithful to preach to the 80 people that showed up. Sitting out there that night was a young man named Curtis Hudson. He stood this week before he preached and said graciously, he said, I could never repay Dr. Jack Hiles for what he's meant to me. First time I heard him preach, I'd never won a soul to Christ. He taught me how to be a soul winner. Dr. Wally Beebe, down in Kankakee, Illinois, came to one of our meetings one time, just a handful of people, and Dr. Beebe was just a young preacher. God transformed his life down at the meeting in Kankakee, Illinois. And from that meeting came Dr. Wally Beebe. Dr. Steve Robertson was called to preach one day. I was preaching at Tennessee Temple College, pardon the expression, and Island Park Baptist Church. And I didn't know this. Years later, Dr. Steve Robertson told me that in that service he was called of God to preach the gospel. And all through these years, God's given me some wonderful pearls of great price. How'd you find these pearls of great price? I was looking for goodly pearls, that's all. That's all. Just being faithful to God and trying to reach everybody I can, trying to stir preachers, everybody I can, and every once in a while you're looking for the goodly pearls, all of a sudden, while you're praying about everything, all of a sudden, you discover the great miracle, big answer to a big prayer. God gives you a pearl of great price. But you don't get the pearl of great price unless you get concerned about the goodly pearl. You don't get the big answers to prayer until you learn to pray about everything. You don't get the big, for example, Daisy Halls, a little Sunday school teacher in Louisville, Kentucky, taught a boys' Sunday school class, and a teenage boy came to visit one day whose name was Lee Robertson, and that little lady got a hold to Lee Robertson and was used of God to lead the great Lee Robertson to Jesus Christ. She wasn't seeking a Lee Robertson. She was seeking goodly pearls. Being faithful in that to the goodly pearl, she found the pearl of great price. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, how do you find these men that become great preachers? I don't know. I don't look for them. Just for all these years, I've been going up and down this country preaching to big crowds and small crowds and medium-sized crowds and trying to stir the preachers. Last year in my audiences across this nation, over 38,000 preachers were in the services where I preached across this nation last year. And I'm just trying to help the 38,000 preachers, and in so doing, thank God, he has a pearl of great price out yonder somewhere. But by the way, if the pearl of great price never comes, it's dead sure a wonderful life just seeking goodly pearls. Seeking goodly pearls. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, your college is young. How in the world? Russell Anderson said to me, and others who've covered this world visiting the mission fields say to me, the greatest missionary in the world today is Rick Martin. Little old Rick Martin went to Howells Anderson College. Apart from First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, the preacher who's baptizing more converts than any other preacher in the world today is Dr. Bob Gray down in Longview, Texas, graduated from our college. Somebody said, Dr. Hiles, how could it be a college only 15 years old starting its 16th year? How could you have the outstanding young evangelist pastor in America come from that college and probably the world's greatest missionary come from that college? I'll tell you how we did. We just sought goodly pearls, that's all. We just tried to teach them all and try to help them all and try to feed them all and try to encourage them all. And every once in a while, you come across a pearl of great price. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, in your personal soul winning, you often tell about the people you won to Christ who are now serving God. And I hesitate to say this, but while I stand here and preach this morning, 34 pastors are standing to preach in churches across this world whom I've taken my little Bible and won to Christ personally in personal soul winning. I've got 7 missionaries serving God on foreign mission fields right at this minute whom I've won to Christ myself with my little testament in personal soul winning through these years. How I thank God for these great soul winners, our great Christians, been my joy to lead to Christ. But you say, for the house, how did you get these? I was looking for goodly pearls. I was out soul winning one night in Garland, Texas, looking for goodly pearls. I wasn't looking for a pearl of great price. Oh, a lot of folks would like to have the pearl of great price, but they're not willing to spend years looking for goodly pearls. And I was out soul winning and went into a house and this big old heavy set, cocky guy, his wife came to the door and he didn't even get up out of his chair. He's in a reclining chair. And I had 2 partners with me, and he said, sit down. We sat down in straight cane-bottom chairs, and he kept laying down that reclining chair. Cockiest guy I ever saw in my life. I didn't want him to get him saved. I didn't want him to go to heaven. Just out one night, just soul went in. A few prospect cards, had a prospect card. Said Charles Hand. And Katie Hand walked up to the door and pushed the doorbell or knocked on the door. Walked in, and that night, Evangelist Charles Hand was won to Christ. Yeah. Brother Hiles, how'd you find him? I was looking for goodly pearls. You know the way big things are done? They're done to people that do little things well. Little drops of water, little grains of sand make the mighty ocean and the pleasant land. You just keep on rearing that child and doing all you can. Susanna Wesley didn't know she had a goodly pearl in her lap. She had 19 goodly pearls, or she was trying to win, and she had 2 pearls of great price. She didn't know that. She just was looking for goodly pearls. Jacob Trebonius was looking for goodly pearls. He did not know that in the classroom that he taught was Martin Luther, the Reformation. He did not know that. Looking for goodly pearls, the fellow said, boy, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to win to Christ, the guy that's going to change the world. No, you're not going to do it. You'll be out of the ministry for long. You won't be a soul winner very long. Just look for the goodly pearls. The layman in a snowstorm one day when 15 people showed up for church, a young man named Charles Spurgeon sitting back in the balcony, back in the back. 15 people showed up. The preacher couldn't even get to church that morning. And a layman stood up and preached on, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And he kept saying, look to Jesus, look to Jesus. He pointed back in the back to that young 15-year-old lad and said, son, I don't know who you are, but look to Jesus, look to Jesus. That teenage boy looked to Jesus, and Charles Haddon Spurgeon got saved that day. Was that man trying to find a pearl of great price? No! He was being faithful to God. That's what he was doing. Looking for goodly pearls. And looking for goodly pearls, he found the pearl of great price. That Sunday afternoon, many years ago, when I was an introverted boy, never won a soul to Christ. A little man, 5'5" tall, named Jesse Cobb, whom I'll love forever, who hears me now from the glory world. Little 5'5" fellow named Jesse Cobb, who's the manager of the Ben Franklin store in our little neighborhood out in Trinity Heights in Dallas, Texas, said to me, said, "Jack, why don't you go soul winning with me this afternoon?" I was the introvert of the church, the least likely person to ever be a soul winner. Jesse Cobb wasn't looking for somebody to pastor the largest church in America. He wasn't looking for a preacher to preach 45,000 sermons. He was looking for goodly pearls. He was being faithful to what God had called me to do. And that's the people that God gives the pearl of great price to. Just be faithful. Be in your Sunday school class. Teach it. Give it all you got. Visit your absentees. Love those boys. Love those girls. Do all you can for God. Fill your place in the choir. Sing your best. Do the best you can in your classroom. Do the best you can teaching in school. You don't know who's out there. But I'll guarantee you, if you've got 30 little kids out there, you may have a pearl of great price, but if you don't, you've got 30 goodly pearls. How do you find those people? Of course, many of these old stories are old hat to many of you. But I drove by the other day, out here behind Goldblatt's. I looked up and I said, "That's the house where our bus minister really got to going." And up on the porch there, years ago, when I was a young man, I was out soul winning and I had a card of a man in an apartment house. Is that Rimback Street?
Behind Goldblatt's?
On Rimback Street, right behind Goldblatt's. Apartment house is still there. Across the street there behind Goldblatt's. I walked up and rang the doorbell. A little lady over here. A little lady, nothing. She's a heavyset lady. And she was about 70 years of age, which in those days to me was ancient. Today it's young. I whistle at 70-year-old gals these days. And she was sitting there in a little porch swing, you know, the old kind of hanging in the ceiling. And she was swinging like that, in that little porch swing like that. Get your big feet out of the way. But anyway, she was swinging. And she said, "Who are you looking for?" And I said, "So-and-so." She said, "He's not here." She said, "I own this house, and he rents an apartment. He's not here." And I said, "Well, Mama, how are you doing?" I called her Mama. "How are you doing?" I sat down beside her in the swing, and we swang together for a while. And I talked to her. I asked her if she had any children. "Oh, yes." "Any grandchildren?" "Oh, yes." "Phoenix, Arizona, I have some grandchildren and one children." And I said, "You got pictures of them?" "Oh, yes, I got a family of them." I said, "Would you go get the family of them and bring it out here?" And she said, "Well, sure." She ran in there and got that family of them and ran back out on the front porch. And I sat there for 15 minutes looking at those dumb-looking pictures. And she was so pleased and proud of her grandchildren, and we had a good time. Several weeks passed, and I got a call from St. Margaret's Hospital. A hoarse voice lady, raspy voice. "My name is Mrs. Babbacy." B-A-B-A-C-Z. "Babbacy." She said, "I'm the little old lady you sat on the porch swing with down on Rimback Street, and I showed you my pictures of my kids." She said, "When you left that day," she said, "I like it, young man. If I ever get sick and need somebody to pray for me, I'm going to ask him to pray for me." She said, "I'm in a hospital and I'm sick. Could you come up and pray for me?" I walked up and prayed for her. And before I left that place, she gave me $7,000 for a brand new bus. And before I had gotten over shouting about $7,000 for a brand new bus, and they called me and she'd ordered that bus. And Mr. Bob Chris called me and said, "Did an old lady named Babbacy tell you she's going to give you a new bus?" I said, "Yes." He said, "She called me and ordered the bus already, but said she said make it two while you're at it. $14,000 for 15 minutes on a porch swinging with an old lady." I told that story one time, and four or five preachers spent all afternoon going up down the street trying to find some old lady sitting on a swing on the front porch. You don't find them that way. You find them being friendly to everybody. Be friendly to the goodly pearls, and God will give you the pearls of great price. But if he doesn't, goodly pearls are mighty nice. Where do you find Jack DeCoster? You got the DeCoster dining hall. You got the DeCoster gymnasium. You got the DeCoster restrooms. Where'd you find Jack DeCoster? Bought that garage down there for us. Paid cash, $400,000 for that parking garage down there. Where'd you find him? Didn't find him. He found me. Got a call one day, long distance call back, and the fellow said, "My name's Jack DeCosta." Said, "I came to pastor school this last year," and he said, "I fell in love with you." I didn't know he had any money. Everybody I've ever won to Christ, they don't give him any money. I got to bail them out of jail before they can walk the aisle on Sunday. I sat there in pastor school, sat over here, pastor school, and he said, "I fell in love with you." And he said, "I want to do something for your work. What do you need?" And I said, "Never tell anybody my needs." He said, "Do you have a gymnasium at the college?" And I said, "No, we don't." He said, "Would you like to have one?" I said, "Yes, we would." He said, in less than 30 minutes, he said, "There'll be $600,000 in $500,000 deposited in your college's account in the Hoosier Bank." Well, I didn't know who that guy was. I thought he was some nut playing a prank. I called over there about an hour later, and then I said, "Have you had a call from the Jack DeCosta?" And they said, "Yeah, he just deposited $500,000 in the Howell Center side of the college account, and I had a spell." "Where'd you find him?" "I found him trying to save America with hundreds and thousands of preachers and Christian workers in this room with tears rolling down my cheeks trying to find some goodly pearls. I didn't know it, but God had a pearl of great price sitting right over here." Be faithful to what God's called you to do. Give your best to what God's called you to do. Seek the pearls of great. Preaching down in Florence, South Carolina one night. My dear friends there, invitation time came, about 1,000 people in the service. Pastor came up to read an invitation, pale as a ghost and trembling. He said, "Dr. Hiles, see that man on his knees right there at the altar?" And I said, "Don't be nervous, man. Don't be nervous." I said, "What is it?" He said, "That man right there." He said, "He's worth $37 million. I said, "Is that right? Is that right? $37 million? He said he owns a great chain of finance companies all over the South. He goes to Presbyterian church in town. He came to hear you preach tonight. He's getting saved at the altar right now." You say, "How'd you find him?" "I wasn't looking for him. Looking for goodly pearls." Somebody said, "Brother Hiles, how do you find all those folks who went to Christ down in Alamrata, Florida?" Looked up and saw my outstanding hero in baseball, all of history of baseball. In sports, my outstanding hero in history is Doak Walker, football player. My outstanding sports hero in baseball is Ted Williams, greatest hitter that ever picked up a bat, in my opinion. Looked up in Alamrata, Florida, and there stood as close to me from you now, Ted Williams. I walked up to him and I said, "Ted, man, I've followed you since 1941 when you hit 406. When you were batting 401, you could have been the first batter to hit 400 in years if you just hadn't played the doubleheader. But because if you'd gone 0 for something that, you'd been down under 400. And I said, "But you went ahead and played the doubleheader and got 6 hits out of 10 times up and ended up batting 406. I said, "I followed you when you got mad one day at the umpire and just took the bat in one hand and took a swing at the ball in one hand and knocked it against the center field wall for a double. I said, "I followed you the day when you struck out and the umpire called you out and you got mad and threw the bat, hit a lady in the head over on the first row in the stands, and you went over to see if she was mad at you, going to sue you. And she said, 'I'm honored to be hit by Ted Williams in the head.' She said, 'Would you give me that bat and sign it?' He looked at me and he said, 'You know more about me than I do.'" Standing there with about 400 people around us, I got to lead Ted Williams to Jesus Christ. You say, "How in the world you find people like that?" I just witness everywhere I go. I'm not looking for pearls of great price. I'm looking for goodly pearls. That's what I'm looking for. "Brother Hiles, you preached to great crowds, haven't you?" "Yes. I preached to one of the biggest coliseums in this nation. 8, 10, 12, 15,000 people in most of the big coliseums where they play basketball in the NBA. I preached in numbers of them in great citywide meetings and great conventions all across this nation. And in practically every great pulpit in America of a fundamental church, I've preached through these years. Brother Hiles, how did you get to do it?" "I got to do it do it because I preach every time I get a chance anywhere. That's the way I got to do it.
Well, I'm looking for the pearl of great price. I'm looking for the goodly pearls.
Like the one night down in a little town, a little city called Uvalde, Texas. Three people showed up. Just about stood to speak to three people. All the lights went out. I preached an hour to three people in the darkness. That's the way I preach to Colosseums. Not looking for pearls of great price. I'm just looking for goodly pearls. That's all. A few months ago, I was preaching Dr. Jack Hiles, pastor of First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana. I preached in a service a few months ago in a morning in a service. 16 people showed up. What'd you do? Have a prayer and go home? No, sir. I unloaded the whole truck on them. Sure. Why? Not looking for a pearl of great. I'm not looking for great crowds. I just want to be faithful to the calling till I see the caller. That's all I want to do. That's all. Just goodly pearls. Just goodly pearls. God will take care of the pearls of great price. You just seek the goodly pearls. Just keep on training that child. Keep on teaching that Sunday school class to give it all you got. Keep on that little classroom of kids you got coming to see you this year as a Christian school teacher. Keep on teaching that class and giving it all you got and preparing your heart and preparing your mind and give it all you got. Keep on standing there as a Bible teacher in Hiles Anderson College and realize, Al Chani, you've got some men called of God and they're goodly pearls, and give all you got to goodly pearls, and one day God's going to look down and say, I think I'll give you a pearl of great price because you've been faithful in seeking goodly pearls. I look back this morning over a long ministry. I'll be quite frank with you. I never thought I could ever have a goodly pearl or a pearl of great price. Never associated that with me. When I went to high school, to college, I majored in Bible, but also majored in secondary education. For the teaching field of history, because I knew I'd never pastor a church big enough to pay me a full-time salary. Sure enough, that's true. But I thought maybe if I could just preach every Sunday, and I knew I couldn't be a preacher of any church of any size. I don't mean not a big one. I mean not an average size one. I just figured I'd spend my life in little country churches, maybe a few people, and they could pay my expenses out to maybe pay the gasoline bill out to drive to on Sunday to preach, and I'd make a living teaching school. All I wanted to do was just look for some goodly pearls. But how good God's been to me. How many times He's given me the pearl of great price. But I want to say this in closing. I think one reason God's given me, in some cases in prayer, the pearl of great price, and in soul winning, a pearl of great price. And in Bible study, blessed be God, how He opens the Bible to this little simple preacher. I think one reason God's done it, because to me, every pearl's a pearl of great price. Every answered prayer is a great answer to prayer. Every soul saved is a great soul saved. Every person sitting in the pew is a great person. And every preacher that comes to Him, he preaches, no matter what size his church, he's a great preacher. And every Bible truth is a great truth. We started our schools and start two more this week. We enter into a fall program and a push this fall. Summer's over. I believe God has for us, on occasion, pearls of great price. But let's forget it. Just forget that. Pearls of great price jump up at you. You don't seek them. They surprise you. You just seek the goodly pearls. Father, bless the message. Help it to lodge on good ground this morning.